An hour of smiles in Town Hall tonight, folks. 60 minutes of fun and music brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Salapatica. Ipana for the smile of beauty. Salapatica for the smile of health. Fun with our star comedian Fred Allen and his Whitey Allen art players. Music with Peter Van Steeden, the Ipana Troubadours, and the Town Hall Quartet. And another group of hopeful amateurs. New voices, new music, new fun. It's Town Hall tonight! Fred Allen as he leads his weekly parade to the Old Town Hall. Fred's leading the band with an oboe, and those hoboes for dramatic progress, the Mighty Allen art players, follow him doing nip-ups. Let's join the throbbing throng. Everybody's going. Here they come, parachute jumpers.
Hey, open that parachute if you're jumping off the plane, mister.
I'll get down quicker if I don't, and I'm late, pilot. It's Town Hall tonight.
Wayward son.
My boy, after 20 years, you've come home to your mother.
Yes, Ma, but I'm only staying for an hour. It's Town Hall tonight.
Circus folks.
Hey, what's the idea? You midgets ganging up on the Giants.
He was trying to take away our radio, Mr. Ringling, and it's Town Hall tonight.
And there's Fred in front of the Old Town Hall welcoming the folks with ad-libs akimbo. Let's listen.
Little Jack Horner sat in the corner, folks. But you can always get a front seat at the Old Town Hall. Now, here, get back, you kids. Let the old folks in first.
Evening, Brother Ellen.
Hi there, Phil. Step along, please. Keep to the right. Hey, hey, where are you going with that tomato, son?
If the show is good, I'm going to eat it, wise guy.
You can start eating it right now, son. It's a great show, folks. So hurry, hurry, hurry.
Hey, we're
hurry.
All set, Fred. What's the opening number?
We're opening with Steamboat Whistle, Harry.
Okay, Steamboat Whistle, Peter. That quick-witted quipster of quaint quandaries, quid pro quo, and quite, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now, before beating our weekly tattoo on the drums of your ears, I'm going to read you the Town Hall Bulletin for tonight. Hodge White, public grocer number one, says that this year, Be Kind to Animals Week will receive his moral support only. Last spring, Hodge gave away free dog biscuits, but 20 or 30 dogs wagging their tails in the store all day stirred up such a draft that it put Hodge in bed for 2 weeks with influenza. So much for canine hospitality for the fiscal year. And now for the Town Hall news. Harry,
yeah?
How about the curtain?
Oh, it's coming right down, Fred.
Thank you. The lights go out, and we bring you the latest news of the week.
The Town Hall News sees nothing, shows all. Sheboygan, Wisconsin. 10-year-old Buster Hofer edits and publishes his own newspaper, the Sheboygan Weekly. Buster's ambition is to become the editor of a metropolitan daily. Town Hall News shows how big city newspaper might be run with a 10-year-old boy as editor. The scene, the editor's office.
Daily Bugle, editor Percy Green speaking. What? A debutante free for all on Park Avenue? Okay, I'll get my photographer right over. Miss Tite?
Yes, Mr. Green.
Buzz for a photographer and make it snappy.
Yes, sir.
You buzz for a photographer, boy?
Yes, Bulb. There's a debutante brawl on Park Avenue. Get over there right away. I want some hot pictures.
Right. Anything else?
Got any candy in your pocket?
Well, just a couple of gumdrops, Chief.
Leave them on my desk.
Yes, sir.
And remember, I want news.
Okay, Chief.
Get my editorial writer in here, Miss Hyde.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Chief.
What editorial are you giving me today, Fishbane?
Oh, the same one. A monkey can lick Carnera. I changed it to a baboon can lick Joe Lewis for the day.
That's right, Fishbane. Give me an editorial on Baby Leroy beating King Kong. I want news.
Yes, sir.
Here's Prudence Nickel, your cooking editor.
Yes, Big Shot. I've got the layout for Sunday. 101 ways to cook spinach.
To cook what?
Spinach.
That's what I thought you said. You're fired.
But
no, but. Spinach may be news, but it's bad news. You're through. Scram. What a newspaper. What a newspaper. Get my dramatic critic in here.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Ed.
Don't call me Ed, Hammond. To all employees, I'm Mr. Green.
Sorry, Mr. Green.
What's new in the theater?
Lux and Fontaine open tonight.
They opened once this season. I want news, Hammond.
Eugene O'Neill is working on a play. It's 9 intermissions. Nothing goes on the stage.
That's only strange interlude turned around. I've got to have news, Hammond.
That's all I know.
Who's getting in from Hollywood today?
Katharine Hepburn, Jean Harlow.
Oh, stuff, Hammond. I want hot news. Anybody else?
Only Shirley Temple.
Shirley where's my beret?
Where are you going, Chief?
To the Grand Central, stupid. At my age, Shirley Temple is news.
Minneapolis, Minnesota. Minneapolis Chief of Police opens school for policemen in effort to tighten up on traffic violations. Policemen will be taught to use logical, well-phrased arguments that will be irresistible when traffic offenders attempt to avoid tickets. Town Hall News shows great difference in police methods. First, the present system.
Oh, you'll get a ticket, Herb. You're doing 60.
Nobody's pinching Herb Jennings. Not with a full I got in this town.
Oh, I knew it. Here's the law.
You just watch me, baby. I'll talk him out of his motorcycle.
Hey, you, pull over to the car.
What's the trouble, officer?
Where's the fire, wise guy? Where do you get that stuff doing 60?
I'm a personal friend of Mayor Swivel's, officer.
Yeah, what about it?
The governor and I went to school together.
So what? You were speeding, wasn't you? A lot of you punks.
Mr. Punk to you, officer.
You ain't nothing to me. Why, you little snag-tooth runt. You're Mr. Punk. You're...
You watch your language, officer. There's a lady present.
What are you beefing about? I got my hat off, ain't I?
Say, are you an elk officer?
No, and I ain't no mason, neither. Here's your ticket.
Isn't there anything I can do?
Yes, be in court tomorrow morning at 9 sharp. Now scram.
Ah, but things in Minneapolis will soon be different. With policemen using improved grammar and etiquette, getting a ticket is going to be a pleasure. Motorists, prepare for this.
You better slow down, Luther. You're doing 60.
Well, I've got to get home before my gas gives out, dear.
Oh, I knew it. Here's an officer.
Oh, make believe you don't see him.
A yoo-hoo! A yoo-hoo!
You mean me, officer? Are you flirting?
No. Will you kindly pull over? Do you mind?
Oh, no, no, not at all.
Something wrong, officer?
Well, I hate to mention it, but my speedometer indicates that you were going approximately 55 miles an hour.
Well, now, that's funny. My meter said 60.
Oh, you're exaggerating, aren't you?
Yes. Yes, he's wrong, officer. Our meter really said 70.
Oh, but I checked my speedometer this morning, madam. I could swear you were doing 55.
Oh, well, now, really, I'm positive it was 60, officer.
I was looking right at the meter, Luther. It said 70.
This is embarrassing, isn't it? My, my. If the three of us don't get together, you know, I can't make out my report.
Well, if it's a deadlock, perhaps a third party could decide.
Oh, now, that's a good idea, officer. Let's leave it to the judge.
Yes, that's fair. We'll let the judge decide.
Well, if you insist,
I'll see you in court at 9. So long.
Oh, no, you don't. Now, how do I know I can get in?
So you won't have any trouble.
We're not taking any chances, officer.
Certainly not. Now, you give me my ticket, you sly puss.
And now, once again, the Town Hall News brings you the outstanding sounds of the week 40 years ago. 40 years ago this week, the New York Giants opened baseball season playing Brooklyn Dodgers. First batter up, fouls to left field. The foul. 40 years ago, leg of mutton sleeves are being sported by the well-dressed belles of New York. The belles. 40 years ago, after demonstration of remarkable properties, physicians start recommending the mineral salt laxative. The recommendation.
Sal Hepatica. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, more than 40 years ago, before the Spanish-American War, doctors were recommending Sal Hepatica. And right up to the present, Sal Hepatica has continued to prove itself the ideal mineral salt laxative. Here's why.
Sal Hepatica does not just one, but two important things. It rids your body of wastes, and it also combats acidity.
So, whenever you're feeling dull, logy, under the weather, when you have wastes in your body and acid in your system, put 2 teaspoonfuls of Sal Hepatica in a glass of water and drink it. See how quickly you'll be feeling your old normal self again if you'll just remember Sal Hepatica for your smile of health.
Van Steeden and the Ipana Troubadours have just played a sequel to Sleepy Time Gal called Wake Up and Sing. Now, on Saturday night, Professor Tweed, the eminent tattooing authority, will appear here at the town hall. Professor Tweed is retiring from his first love, the tattooing game, and his lecture is called A Farewell to Arms. Now, on Sunday afternoon... Quiet, shush, quiet, please. If that's some ghost with 3 sheets to the wind, you won't spook till you're spooking too if I come down there now.
Hello.
Well, sir, they laughed when I asked the waiter for a pitch pipe. They didn't know my tuna fish was off key. If it isn't Portland.
Yes, we had the radio on last Wednesday, and it reminded Papa that one of his tubes was gone.
Oh, yes, you've got to keep up the payment, you know, or sometimes the whole set is gone.
No, Papa's tube of Ipana was gone. The radio reminded us.
Oh, well, if you're on your way to buy Ipana, Portland, don't let me stop you.
Well, I'm fooling you tonight.
You mean you haven't brought any of those mentally underdone friends of yours here?
No, tonight is a special occasion.
Say, what's tonight?
It's Peter Van Steeden's anniversary.
Anniversary of what?
Well, Peter is finishing his first year on the Town Hall program.
Ooh.
His second year starts tonight, and I think we should celebrate.
Say, that's a swell idea, Portland. I'll get Peter over here right away. Say, Peter.
Yes, Fred?
Ladies and gentlemen, good fellow, an accomplished musician, and our tune companion, Peter Van Steeden.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you, Fred. But I don't know what I've done to deserve this.
This is your anniversary, Peter. Gosh, you have to make a speech or something.
Well, I haven't got anything prepared, Portland.
Oh, just say anything, Peter. You know, unaccustomed as I am to being, you know...
All right. Hi-ho, everybody.
Oh, you can't say that, Peter. Rudy Valley says that.
Oh, yes. You know Rudy, the pugilist. Why, he always says that. Hi-ho, Mar. It was a tough fight, and I left the show.
Well, how about give me liberty or give me death?
Oh, don't be greedy, Peter. You know, if you only ask for one thing, perhaps you'll get it.
And anyway, Patrick Henry said that.
Has 87 long years?
Yes, Lincoln said that.
Well, I guess about everything's been said then, hasn't it?
Well, you could say if you like being on the program.
Been a pleasure, Portland. This has really been the happiest year I've spent in radio.
You know, I've often wanted to ask you one thing, Peter.
Right ahead, Fred.
All during these programs, you know, you stand up there directing the band with your back to the audience. Now, frankly, what goes on with you while we're telling the joke?
Yes, do you ever laugh, Peter?
Well, Portland, you folks may not notice it, but I'm tittering practically all of the time.
You're tittering.
Well, if, yes, but if something's real funny, I just go to pieces and smirk.
It has to be real funny, though, to make you smirk.
Oh, yes.
Now, how many times would you say, roughly speaking, Peter, say that you have smirked during the past year?
Well, that time Jack Benny was on?
When Jack Benny was on.
Well, that's one.
And then Stoopnagel and Bud and Phil Baker. Do you remember that night?
It took the whole three of them to get a smirk out of you, huh?
Yeah, they brought back memories of Jack Benny.
That reminds me. I heard Jack Benny imitating you two Sundays ago, Mr. Allen.
Really?
He had to put a clothespin on his nose.
A clothespin? A fine thing. He can't give an imitation to me without holding his nose.
Hey, is my anniversary over, Fred?
No, Peter. I want to say on behalf of the mighty Allen Art Players, Portland and myself, that it is really our good fortune to be associated with you. And I hope that, I certainly do hope that we'll all be together for a long time.
Me too, Peter.
Thank you both. And all I can say is, here comes the showboat.
You can't say that.
Captain Henry says that.
Gosh, this is a pretty dead anniversary.
I'm doing the best I can, Portland.
Look, I tell you what we'll do, Peter. During all of the years that you've been directing bands, listening to different comedians or different singers, haven't you ever had a mad desire to rush down to the microphone and sort of do something yourself?
Well, yes, Fred, I have.
Then tonight, you're going to have that opportunity, Peter. The microphone is yours.
Thanks, Fred.
What are you going to do, Peter?
Well, I've played nothing but popular music all my life.
And tonight?
Well, tonight, for once, I'd like to play something worthwhile.
You mean a solo, Peter?
No, not a solo. Three of the boys in the band and I have been practicing the quartet from Rigoletto.
I was afraid of that. Something told me that was...
do you mind, Fred?
No, but after all, it's your anniversary, Pete.
Are you tuned up, boys?
Give us your A, Pete.
Wait a minute, Peter. What are those instruments you fellas are going to play?
They're called nosophones, Fred. This little tin thing fits over the nose and you blow.
It's sort of a snow-o.
Quiet, Portland. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Peter Van Steeden Symphony Group, Lyle Bowen, first nosophone, Larry Binion, alto nosophone, and Rudy Adler, bass or schnozolophone. Now, what are you boys playing? What's that number again? Noses of Picardy, is it?
No, the quartet from Rigoletto.
All right.
Thank you. And how did you like it, Fred?
Great, Peter. The telephone number is Murray Hill A. You know, I was just thinking, Peter, you can put a drop of menthol in one of those nosophones, play it in reverse, and I bet you'll cure a head cold in no time.
I get it. Well, I'll see you at my next anniversary.
I hope so. Thank you, Peter. So long, Cortland.
Hallie, ho!
Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Say, excuse me just a minute, Fred.
Well, I don't mind you butting in, Harry. That is, if it's something important.
Well, Fred, this is very important, and it's news I know you're going to be glad to hear. Governor Allred of Texas has awarded you an honorary commission in the Texas Rangers,
really?
One of the most colorful and romantic organizations in the country.
Well, thank you, Harry. I certainly appreciate Governor Allred's kindness, and I hope I'm going to be able to attend the Texas Centennial Exposition this summer. When does it open, Harry?
Why, the Texas Centennial opens in Dallas on June 8th, Fred. Say, how about dedicating the next number to the exposition?
Well, it's on short notice, but I'll do the best I can, Harry. The Town Hall Quartet, ladies and gentlemen, has an old Texas cowboy song called Great Granddad and Grandma. Now, I'm going to ask the boys to sing it for good old Texas and Governor Allred. If you will, boys.
Great Granddad, when the West was young, barred his door with a wagon tongue, for the times was rough and the redskins mocked, and he said his prayers with a shotgun cock. Great Granddad was a busy man, cooked his grub in a frying pan. He picked his teeth with a hunting knife and wore the same suit all his life. He was a citizen tough and grim, danger was duck soup to him. He had corn pone and bacon fat, but his great-grandson would have starved on that.
When 21 children come to bless the old man's home in the wilderness, but great-granddad, he didn't lose heart,
for the dogs hunted rabbits and the kids tried smart.
21 boys and tall they grew, strong and fat on the bacon too. They slept on the floor with the dogs and cats,
and I hunted in the woods for the coonskin cap.
21 boys and not one bed, but they didn't get fresh with the old granddad, for if they had, he'd have been right glad to tender hides with the hickory gad.
They grew strong of heart and hand, the firm foundation of this land. 21 boys, but his great-grandson is having a heck of a time with one. Now great-grandma
from the West was new,
wore hook skirts and a bustle too. When engines come and things look bad, she fit right alongside a great-granddad. She worked hard 7 days a week to keep granddad well fed and sleek.
Yep, she boiled the beans and she hung out the wash, and she didn't have time to drink no tea, but God. With red eyes, no tea, never.
21 eggs she had to scrub, wash 21 shirts in the old wash tub, cook 23 meals 3 times a day. No wonder grandma's hair turned gray. She worked all day and she slept all night, which seems to me is just about right. But with great-granddaughter, it's the other way. She's up all night and she sleeps
heard the boys in the Town Hall Quartet exercising their vocal cords, vocalizing their overlook that vocabulistic lapse, ladies and gentlemen. I don't seem to be myself this evening.
Well, Fred, who are you?
Well, now that's a poser, Harry. Who would you be if you were someone else, and what would you say?
Well, now, I don't know what you mean, Fred.
Well, suppose you weren't an announcer. Let's say you were a doctor or a dentist.
Well, dentist. Well, Fred, if I were a dentist, I'd take that opportunity to recommend Ipana toothpaste as my ablest assistant in the home care of the teeth and gums. Because not only does Ipana clean and polish the teeth, but it helps tone and stimulate the gums, which is absolutely necessary for healthy mouths. And since our mouths aren't really healthy when our gums are tender and under-exercised, and since our modern soft, creamy foods don't give our gums the exercise they need, I'd say use Ipana with massage. And you can't begin too soon.
Well, Harry, now suppose you weren't a dentist. Let's say you were a school teacher. What would you say then?
Well, then I'd say that modern schools everywhere are starting children on the road to a lifetime of oral health by teaching them to massage their gums every time they clean their teeth.
Well, Harry, since you're neither a dentist nor a teacher, now what have you got to say just for yourself?
And just this. For a healthier mouth and for cleaner, brighter teeth, always remember iPanna for the smile of beauty. Uh-oh, there's the theme song of the Mighty Allen Art Players, and they'll be with you immediately after your station announcement.
Accident insurance, prepare to collect it, ladies and gentlemen, for the Mighty Allen Art Players are about to happen. Tonight, this little company, the company that sent the New York critics from Winterset to Somerset in two acts, brings you a Scotch epic entitled Sandy's Crime, or actors may be dead from the neck up, but Scotsmen are kilt from the waist down. Over to you, Peter.
Sunday.
Aye,
is that all I'm to hear out of you till my dying day?
Aye.
For 10 years you've been working at your tool bench and you've nae spoken a word but aye. Sunday will you get up? Aye. Sunday will you come to your oatmeal? Aye. Sunday will you go to your bed?
Aye.
He says again. It's death you are, working 10 years hammering and twisting, and what have you made? A piece of wire you could felch from a hen coop.
Minner, will you come down to the valley?
Why should I come to the valley, lad?
There's an echo in the valley, Mither. I want to ask you for a nickel.
Aye, we an echo, you fancy I'll give you a dime.
Ha, that's my strategy, aye.
Away, and ask your father for a nickel. He says aye to everything.
Feather?
Aye.
Can I have a nickel?
No.
No, he says.
What are you inventing, Feather?
Inventing? The lazy boondogger fumbling with 2 bits of wire. Your Feather's daft, Donald.
You're no daft, are you, Feather? You've just got a silly look on your face.
Aye.
Well, I'm going down to market, Donald. I'm getting the grapefruit recharged for the breakfast.
Feather.
Aye.
Can I have a nickel?
Mind your extravagant talk, lad. What could you do with a nickel?
I'm in the mood for a lollipop.
Aye. Well, find yourself a stick and use your imagination.
Oh, come on. Double cross me, Feather. Let me the nickel for the lollipop.
No. I'll no give you the nickel, but here. Take 2 pennies. You can rent an all-day sucker for an hour.
Oh, thank you, Feather. You're...
Creep.
But your intentions are good.
If that's a beggar at the door, Donald, ask him for something first.
Hi, Feather.
Is your Feather in, Donald?
Aye. Come in, Mr. Ferguson.
Make your first step a long one, Ferguson. It'll save the wear and tear on the doormat.
Aye, I will.
I'll go rent my lollipop, Feather.
Aye, I'm fetching home, lad. After dinner, we'll all have a lick at it for dessert.
Aye. Goodbye, Mr. Ferguson.
Goodbye, Donald.
No, Jock. If you've something to say, make haste. You'll get no chance if my wife, Muggy, returns.
Aye, the hag. Join nagging and heckling, she is.
Aye.
Ah, Sandy, you've got the sympathy of the village.
I'll no need sympathy when my invention's perfected.
What have you been inventing these 10 years, Sandy?
You'll soon see. If my jigger works, Ferguson, I'll be the happiest man in Glen Spavin.
Aye, but I'm neglecting the purpose of my call.
Aye, foxy Ferguson. What are you mulling under your Tam O'Shanter?
Can I have the lend of your corkscrew, Sandy?
Aye, and I'll walk you home while you're using it.
Aye, I were afraid of that. I'll no trouble you, Sandy.
Then your visit is over.
Aye.
What are
you doing here, Jock Ferguson?
I just stopped in to have the pleasure of saying goodbye to you, Maggie Mustaf.
And the pleasure is mutual, if you'll pardon the shove. Goodbye. As soon as my back is turned, you clutter the house with your drunken cronies.
Aye.
Aye again. Will you speak up, man?
Aye, I'll speak. My time has come, Maggie Mustaf. My invention's finished. Sit the dune.
Mind your talk, Sanders.
Sit the dune, Hoppy.
Aye, I'll sit the dune, but I don't like your tone, Sunday McCock.
Do as your bud wants. This here is my invention.
Invention? It's not but a wire. What do you think you've invented?
That's a new Scotch radio.
You're soft, Sunday McCock.
I'm near soft. You fit these wires onto your teeth. You open your mouth, and you'll get Uncle Don.
I don't believe it.
Then I'll demonstrate. Open your mouth. Aye, I'll snap the wire on your buck teeth. No, can you open your jaw? Can you talk? You can't? Then my invention's a success. Aye, up you go, and I'll carry you into the closet. Dinner hinder me, Donald.
There's no talking. You've killed Mother. Help.
Here, come back here, lad.
Help, police.
I know my fair female. Ah, says you. You can mumble and grumble in the closet. In you go, my dumb beauty. Aye, after 10 years, whoop, man, I've got peace at last. The Campbells are coming. I hear a whoop. The Campbells are coming. They're bringing their soup.
Open in the name of the king.
What king? You can open yourself.
I'm Inspector McNabb from Scotland Yard, Sandy McSapp, and you're under suspicion.
Aye, I'm Sergeant McGrath. Where's the victim, lad?
I don't know. Feather was carrying Mother and I...
Aye, lad, but how do you know there was foul play?
Mother wasn't talking. It was unnatural.
The lad's supplicating, officer.
Come clean,
there's been no crime committed. Let me have my word. There's been no crime committed.
You come clean, Sandy, or we'll puncture your bugpipe.
I am innocent. I'm a victim of circumstances.
You've kidnapped your wife, Sandy.
No, I've not.
What's that, spirit?
It's in the closet.
He's hidden the body.
Open the closet in the name of the king.
Aye.
Ah, just as I suspected, she's in here with her mouth wired. She's strangling.
Mother, are you hurt, Mother?
Give us a hand with this wire, Sergeant.
Oh, if you take off that contrivance, Inspector, I'll be responsible.
You're under arrest, Sandy. Remove the wire, Sergeant.
Aye, sir. Hold still, Mrs. McStock. There.
Aye. And somebody's going to pay for this, too. You thought I was hooked on him, McStock. You thought you shook me up like a clam. 10 years with your invention.
Will you prefer charges, Mrs. McStock?
I will, and I'll prefer charges against you, too, Inspector McNabb, and your bodily stool.
Here, now, will you be quiet?
I'll not be quiet. You've thrashed up my house with mud from your big feet.
Now, listen, Mrs. McStock.
I'll not listen. I'll report you to Scotland Yard before sundown.
Can nothing stop her, Sandy?
No, I've stood it 10 years.
And you'll stand it for 10 more years. I'll chop the ears off the lot of you. That's what
hand
I'm
doing. Hand me that wire, Sergeant. Here.
Here, what do you want to, Inspector?
Hold her around, Sandy.
No, help, let me free.
What are you doing, Inspector?
I'm flipping this wire back in place, Sandy. Now, my fine lot. Open the door, Sergeant.
Aye.
In you go to the closet. No, we'll have peace.
Aye, Inspector. And I'm ready to pay for my crime.
You're entitled to Scotch justice, Sandy.
Scotch justice? Then I've nothing to pay.
No, Sandy. You acted in self-defense.
Thank you. So much for the mighty Alan R. Players, ladies and gentlemen. And now for a metamorphosis. I shall throw off the mantle or cloak of the Merry Andrew or Punchinello and do something really worthwhile. Say, if Peter Van Steeden can play a nosophone on the program, I think I can sing. Ready for your...
No, listen.
Too sophisticated for you, hey?
Well,
I have something else. Now, maybe this won't be over your head. You ready?
Yep.
To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether it is bitter to...
Oh, Fred, wait a minute. What's got into you tonight, anyway?
Oh, shucks. Can't a fella be serious for a change? I tell you, Harry, You do the rest of the show, and let me take over your job, announcing. Ladies and gentlemen, remember I, Panna, for the smile of beauty.
Well, now, Fred, wait, you can't do it that way.
Was I too abrupt?
Well, I think a little, Fred. Now, suppose some people were listening in tonight who didn't use I, Panna. You should explain what a grand toothpaste I, Panna is. How much whiter and brighter it really makes your teeth, and what a clean, fresh tingle it gives your mouth.
Oh, I see. And then I say, remember I, Panna, for the smile of beauty.
No, not quite yet, Fred, because you haven't said the most important thing about I, Panna. That it's especially made to help gums as well as teeth. And since our modern soft, creamy foods don't give our gums the exercise they need to keep them firm and healthy, a little I, Panna massaged into the gums every time the teeth are brushed with it will help tone and stimulate those under-exercised gums.
Say, there's a lot more to this announcing than you'd think, Harry. I guess I just better stick to my nitwitting and leave I, Panna to you.
All right, and I'll leave it to our audience, Fred, to remember I, Panna for the smile of beauty. Town Hall Amateur Contest. Here comes Fred Allen leading the winners of this week's Town Hall Amateur Audition. Let's give them a real Town Hall reception.
Thank you. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, our amateurs... Oh, I just stopped to salute. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, our amateurs tonight... Excuse me, Morton, I just have a few words to say and then I'll talk. You don't mind, do you?
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, our amateurs tonight were selected from this week's auditions of hundreds of applicants. And tonight, these boys and girls compete for a first prize of $50 and the week's engagement at the Roxy Theater in New York City and a second prize of $25 in cash. Now, you folks here in the town hall will select your own winners. Your applause after each act will be recorded on our applause machine, and the two acts receiving the highest applause ratings will be called back later for your final vote. Now, first tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we have the honor to present to you the Boy Scout Band from Crestwood, New York. And representing the Scouts here at the microphone is Master... Is Master too young, Morton?
Oh, that's all right.
Master? Or would you rather have Mister?
Don't make any difference.
I can change it around, you know. I'll say then, Mr. Morton Lord. Is that right, Morton?
Yes, that's right.
And are you the director of the Scout Band?
No, I'm just a member. Mr. Newman's the director.
Mr. Newman is the director of the band?
Yes.
Oh, yet just sort of a spokesman for
boys,
huh? Well, you certainly have a fine group of boys, I must say, and it certainly augurs well for the future of Crestwood to see such a fine-looking band, I might say. I can't say band, can I, insofar as they play. Band of youth growing up in the Crestwood sector. I'll eventually get twisted up. It's only a matter of seconds here. But the Scouts have come a long way, haven't they, Morton?
Yes, that's right.
Since they were first... I don't mean from Crestwood. I mean since they... since they were first founded. Weren't the Scouts first started in around 1908 or so?
I think that's right.
By Sir Robert, was it Sir Robert Baden-Powell?
That's right.
Baden-Powell, huh? See, just out of the crannies, I might say, of memory, I draw those things out and people don't believe it. took me 3 hours yesterday to look that up, to find out. Well, how many boys are in the band, Morton?
There's about 20 in it.
About 20 boys? That's a fife right. And drum corps, huh?
No, a bugle and drum corps.
Oh, bugle and drum corps. Wrong again. But what are you going to play tonight?
It's an arrangement made by our director.
Oh, a special arrangement of any particular number?
No, it's just...
Just Boy Scouts at random, huh? Well, all right. Do you play an instrument?
Yeah, I play the drum.
All right, I better give you a head start, I guess, to get down with the boys. There are so many of them. You can go right ahead if you care to. I'll sort of keep things going here after a fashion. Morton plays an instrument in the band, and the band is so powerful, ladies and gentlemen, we put them in the corner of the studio just in case they blow the building out from under our feet here. Are you ready? All right, thank you. Much, boys. I consider that to be your good deed for today. Yeah, those boys who had their good deed already performed for the day are now a good deed ahead and can just sort of sit around and rest tomorrow. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm happy to present to you Miss Helen Weber. Is that right, Miss Weber?
That's right, darling.
You live here in New York?
No, I don't.
You don't, huh?
No, I live in Halifax, Nova Scotia.
You do, really? In Halifax. What are you doing way down here in Nova York from Nova Scotia?
Well, I came here to study.
To study singing?
Yes.
And what, do you go home to Halifax in the summer?
Yes, I do.
Delightful there in the summer, isn't it?
It's very lovely in the summer, yes.
I appeared there many years ago in Halifax. Do you remember Acker's Theater?
Yes, I do.
Is it still there?
Yes. Well, it's changed now. It's the Garrick Theater.
Oh, they always change after I've been in there. About a theater. It's never the same after I have played there. But I did. I worked Sydney, North Sydney, Sydney Mines, Glace Bay, Moncton. It was sort of a surreptitious tour. To this day, my people thought I was a ferret impersonator rushing up through there for practice. Well, Miss Weber, what would you like to sing tonight?
Well, I'm going to try and sing Clavelitos.
All right, Clavelitos.
That's right.
Thank you.
Il
did you mean me, Granada? Se venisto, che lo fai qualche parte, e che te ne ne sento per sento, poi sento che sei per me.
Thank you. That was Miss Helen Weber. Thank you very much, Miss Weber. And now, ladies and gentlemen, from Flushing, New York, New Jersey, Long Island, isn't it, boys? Come the harmonica minutemen. Five boys armed with harmonicas here, and one ukulele player. Where did you boys pick up the title, the name of this act, the harmonica minutemen?
Well, you see, it was this way. We were playing at an Irish dance one night, and we forgot where we were and played Ailey Ailey. So it took us about 2 seconds to get out, and they call us the minutemen ever since.
Well, if it only took you 2 seconds to get out, you had 58 seconds left over to be minute, man.
Well, we figured there was other amateurs coming on.
Well, I don't know. It's rather confusing. People who study history always imagine that the Minutemen came from around Lexington and Concord and were heroes, friends of Mr. Bloom's, who's trying to find out who started that trouble there with the shot, you know? And they're going to be greatly surprised to learn that the Minutemen come from Flushing and play mouth organ. So what are you going to play, boys?
Well, Mr. Allen, you know, it seems the leader always gets all the breaks. I'd like to introduce my boys because they're sure worth it. What do you say?
Well, perfectly all right
with
me.
All right. Here's first the Howard Reed.
Glad to know you, Mr. Reed.
Joseph Patello.
Joseph Patello. How are you, Joe?
Charles Ferrer.
Glad to know you, Charles.
And Charles Patello.
And Mr. Spatello. And what's your name?
Eddie Ellis.
Mr. Ellis, I'm glad to know you.
Glad to know you.
Well, now.
Oh, boy.
After an introduction like that, we should have a whale of a number coming up. And what's it going to be?
Tiger Rag.
Tiger Rag. Thank you. Going to mimic?
We'll do sound imitations.
Oh, sound imitations. What would you like to do?
Well, the first one is the imitation of a traffic whistle.
Traffic whistle? Go right ahead.
Now, I don't use anything but my mouth.
Uh-huh. That's a traffic whistle. Now, what's next?
The next is the cuckoo clock.
Cuckoo clock. All right.
Next is the rolling of the dice.
Rolling of the dice.
Seven. And now, if you're thirsty, I'll open up a bottle.
If I'm thirsty, you're going to open a bottle, huh? All right.
And the last one is the imitation of Popeye.
Popeye the Sailor, all right.
I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I am what I am and I am. I'm strong to the finish, cause I eat all me finish. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to have you meet Miss, how do you pronounce your first name, please?
DeVita.
Miss DeVita Starr. And you are a harpist, Miss Starr?
That's right.
And what are you going to play for us tonight?
I thought I would play Believe Me of All Those Endearing Young Charms.
Believe Me of All Those Endearing Young Charms. All right, thank you very much. I always appreciate seeing a harp player here on Earth because I don't imagine I'm going to see many of them. It's always a pleasure. All in tune, Miss Starr? All right, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, John Day and Vincent Bud Holman. Is that right?
That's right, Mr. Holman.
Who is Vincent here?
I am, sir.
What's that Bud doing in the middle of the name?
A nickname, sir.
Oh, a nickname, huh?
That's right.
You know, a name Bud in the center like that is open up. Is apt to open up this time of the year and crowd your monogram if it's first open. And you, Bud and John, have come down from Albany. Is
that
right?
That's right, sir.
And what do you do up in Albany? Do you mind if I ask you?
Oh, I'm a drug clerk.
Drug clerk, huh?
Yes, sir.
I hope you keep Ipana and Sal Hepatica prominently displayed in the store.
Oh, plenty of it.
Right in the window, huh?
That's right.
And why do you? And what does John do?
John's a lyric tenor. He's a singer.
Oh, a singer, huh?
Yes, sir.
What are you going to sing and play tonight?
Well, I'm going to sing my own composition. It's I Love You Best in Red.
I Love You Best in Red.
You're going to
You're going to sing it or play it?
I'm going to play it.
Oh, you're
and
going
John
to...
is going to sing it.
John
I see
is going
to mistake now.
John is going to sing it. That's rather unfair. If you wrote it, I should think that you, Bud, would sing it first and see if it's safe, and then later on. This way, it sort of got John out in front there. Well, all right, you can go right ahead to the piano, if you will, and I'll entertain John here with card tricks till he gets set. You all right? How'd you come down? Drive down?
Yes, sir. We came down with Uncle Bud.
Oh, I see. I was just wondering about later tonight getting back. You all right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Purple makes you look adorable. Blue puts you a step ahead. Rose I know on you is wonderful. But I love you best in red. fellow makes you look quite ravishing. And when everything is said, I think on you is dazzling. But I love you best in red. Color schemes, it seems, were just made for you. Darling, please believe it's true. Don't you be surprised when you realize I am in your color scheme too. Green, it seems to me, looks well on you. White you wear when we are wed. Any color scheme looks well on you. But I love you best in red.
And John Day and Vincent Bud Holman from Albany complete our amateur contest for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And now while I check on the applause machine, Harry has just 51 words to say.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Bristol-Myers Company is mighty proud of the honor Texans have bestowed on Fred Allen tonight. And we're also mighty proud of the honor natives of every state bestowed on this program every Wednesday night by remembering to be with us. And by remembering the two products that make Town Hall tonight possible. Ipano toothpaste for the smile of beauty. Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Ipano, Sal Hepatica.
All right, Freddie, we got the results ready?
Yes, Harry. Ladies and gentlemen, the applause meter, things are rather close tonight. The meter divulges that your applause has been heaviest for the following acts. The Crestwood Boy Scout Band, the Harmonica Minutemen, and Frank Matalon. Now, I'm going to ask Harry to hold his hand over the heads of the boys as I call the names, and I'm going to ask you to kindly applaud just once more, if you will, and select your first and second winners. Now, first, the five boys with the mouth organs playing the Tiger Rag, the Harmonica Minutemen. And then the young man who gave the excellent imitations, the sound mimic, Frank Matalon. And then the Boy Scout Band from Crestwood, New York. Thank you. And what does the machine say, Harry?
There you are. There's your first.
The first prize, $50 in cash, and a week's engagement at the Roxy Theater in New York City goes to Frank Matalon with a decibel rating of 95 and one quarter. The second prize, $25 in cash, goes to the Harmonica Minutemen. Thank you very much.
National Broadcasting Company.